World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from Drive-In Church in Winnipeg, Canada, here's Leon Fontaine.
A number of years ago, as a young man, I was working at the hospital. We were based out of there in paramedic, as a paramedic. And I remember them bringing in a man that was dying. I was on the resus team. And as we worked on him to try to get this heart to convert and to a life rhythm, and I remember stepping back and the doctors and the nurses and the paramedics that were in the room, and they had just rushed him in. And he was a person, he was a gentleman who had served the occult. He was fascinated with the devil, against the word of God. And I remember watching him because he passed away right there in front of my eyes. And it was so bad that we talked about it as a team afterwards. He stared up into space, and his face was twisted into this horrible look, fearful. And he was sweating as he was dying so bad that it was not dripping off his chin. It was like when your tap is cranked and there's that little stream that comes off. He was just, looked like he was burning up. And then his heart, we couldn't do a thing for him. We tried. And he died that way. I don't know how they got the look off of his face. But I'll never forget, people were talking, unsaved doctors and nurses. What do you think he was looking at? Because it wasn't just a glazed over in a coma look. It was like he was tracking something right in front of him, and he was seeing into something. It was awful. It was just horrible. And it made me realize and remember that there's a reason for the Church of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you and I are to leave the 99, and we are to go look for the one. Now you say, well, Leon, that's pastors. You know, you got to make sure you understand God's word. It is to all of us to leave what is comfortable, to stop just trying to conserve who you are, what you've got, and your life is good. Why rock the boat? Why let anybody know I'm a believer? Why share my faith? People don't like it. And this teaching of Jesus, of leaving the 99 there on the hill and going into the rocks, the ravines, to look for that one. I want you to understand that you can't serve Jesus and not win souls for Him. You can't serve Jesus and not share your testimony. When Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and the presence of God ignited that upper room, the Bible says that He did this so that you could become His witnesses. Someone who would speak up for the disenfranchised. Somebody who would speak up, even to the cocky person who doesn't need God. They need someone to share the truth with them. We get so used to being comfortable and going after our dream and going after our marriage, our kids, our holidays, more money, new car, new house, and all of those things have already been given to us. God's fine with things, but it's not our first. Our first is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. You don't chase the things, you chase your purpose. And your and my purpose is to win people to Jesus, and as a church, it's to mature them to become disciples, disciplined followers of Christ. We are all about lost souls. We are all about sharing our faith, not being a secret service Christian, not being a whiny or a person who just doesn't want to say anything in case people disagree with us. And I believe in being spirit contemporary, being alive with the Spirit of God, and saying and sharing and talking in a contemporary way, a relevant way, a way that actually reaches people, but yet people still won't share their story. They won't be, the Bible says He made you witnesses. You are a witness. Your faith is in this Jesus Christ who gave Himself for you. And so we need to speak up. If we don't, who will? The Bible very clearly teaches us that people will not be able to have faith. You see, to give your life to Jesus Christ isn't just to recite a prayer. Because the Bible says that just praying a prayer doesn't get you anywhere. It's the faith. And so how will someone believe and put their trust in Jesus and what He did on the cross? Well, the Bible says they need to hear somebody tell them the story of Jesus. They need to hear somebody tell them what Jesus has done for them. And that when you speak up and you say this, that something miraculous happens. Holy Spirit takes your words, and as they listen to them, it begins to create. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you share God's Word through your testimony of how you gave your life to Christ, as limited or as deep as you want to share it, the presence of God gets on your words. And you do not have to convince the person's mind. Don't worry about it. Just share your story, and don't be dramatic and attack. You just share with love the goodness of God. And the Bible says that the words that you speak, Holy Spirit takes them and ignites them within them, and they begin to ponder and look at that message, at Jesus. He may bring a TV show across their path, another person sharing with them, but we all need to be witnesses of the goodness of God in our lives. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, it says here that God has placed eternity in man's hearts. The difference between you and an animal is animals don't sit around thinking about eternity. But you and I are made in the likeness and the image of God, and He has set eternity in our hearts. We have a spirit that will never die, even when this body does. And there is an awareness within everybody that they need something more than what they've got. And when you share your story with someone, you may be able to say, hey, can I lead you in a prayer? I know it. I see my pastor do it every Sunday. And it just put your trust in it and lead them. You may not be able to. They might just say, well, thank you for sharing with me. Or you might have had a great conversation with a friend, and those words were shared. But I talk with a lot of people, and years later, Holy Spirit will bring the words that you spoke. I was meeting somebody in the Stony Mountain Penitentiary, and as we got together and began to talk, I found out that this guy had destroyed his life so bad. You just name a crime, he had done it. Nobody loved him, wanted him, family, kids, parents. And he said he had a nervous breakdown pretty much in his cell. He said, I curled into a ball, and he said, I was sucking on my thumb. It was so bad. And I thought I was going to die, that my brain was going to just explode, and I was going to have this massive nervous breakdown. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, a tune to a melody begin to rise up from inside of me, deep down inside. And he said, and it was this. And he sang it for me, this hardened criminal. It was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And in order to keep his mind from just losing it for good, this song, he began to sing it there in his cell over and over. Nobody else loves me, but he was singing, Jesus loves me. And he told me how that one neighbor had simply asked his mom for permission to bring him as a little boy with her to church. And he simply was down in the Sunday school and he was taught about Jesus, but it was the song that came up to him as a hardened criminal laying in the bottom of a cell having a massive nervous breakdown. And he said to Jesus there, he says, if you're real, I just give you my life. I choose you. And he was born again right there. It's not the consonants, the nouns, the verbs. It is this belief on Jesus. And when you share with somebody the goodness of God in your life and what Jesus means to you, the Bible says Holy Spirit can bring it to their remembrance any time he wants. That's his job. Your job is not causing a human heart to believe on Jesus. That's Holy Spirit's job.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine. Who is Holy Spirit to you? Many Christians are unaware of the role Holy Spirit plays in their day-to-day lives. As a believer, you have a powerful advantage. Don't go your entire life unaware of who Holy Spirit is. In this three-part series, Demystifying Holy Spirit, Leon cuts through common misbeliefs and shows you how to tap into God's presence.
Hey everybody, those who give and have joined us in this love walk of financing this program around the world, they're so special. I'd love to have you join us. For a gift of $30 or more, I want to send you this series on the Holy Spirit and how I learned to become friends with Him and His power in my life.
Receive His guidance, know Holy Spirit personally, and begin to access His miraculous ability and strength like never before. Get your copy of Demystifying Holy Spirit today.
I walked into a home by invite one day, and a wonderful couple had a teenage girl who was literally just defying them, getting involved in drugs, running off, disobeying them. They feared for her life. They said, would you come talk to her? I was the youth pastor and I said, I'll try. I said, all I can do is come and I'll try. I remember walking into their home and this defiant, you know, 16-year-old girl or so is looking at me and I tried to share with her and tried to talk with her, but she'd been raised in church, so she knew. Anything I told her, she knew. And her parents had preached at her, screamed at her, loved at her. I'm sure they'd done everything they knew how. They were great people, not putting them down. And I said to her, I said, well, if you don't mind, before I go, so I didn't waste a trip out here, do you have a problem with me praying for you? She goes, no. Go ahead. And so I prayed with her. And I prayed what I've taught many of you to do when someone that you love or know has gone astray. I prayed and I commanded the season of pleasure, which is only for a season, and Satan tries to lure us to our... I commanded the pleasure to stop. I couldn't command her to stop her sin because she's her own being and she's a sovereign, autonomous being. But I commanded the pleasure to stop. And I left. Months later, she comes to church and she wants to talk to me. She takes me aside and she starts to cry and bawl as she said, ever since you prayed for me, I can't have any fun. Everything's going bad. And she goes, and I need to get right with God right now. And so I led her in the prayer and she gave her life to Jesus Christ. And it was stunning to me to hear her share the story of weeks and months of trying hard to go be rebellious. She's allowed to do whatever she wants, but I had forbade the enemy from giving her pleasure. Because there's pleasure, but it's only for a season. And the enemy tries to destroy you before the pleasure ends. Because when the pleasure ends, people will come running back to God as they realize the trap that it is. That simple prayer and those simple few words that I shared with her brought her back to renewing her life for Christ. And at that point, she just gladly asked God to forgive her and move on in the things of God. I want you to know that to share the message of Jesus, the good news, is simple. And Holy Spirit is going to anoint the words that you speak, the life that you live. This adventure of living our lives for Him, blessed and happy and all of our needs met. The goodness of God on our lives is what people look at and what they see. And they love that. But then they're attracted to God. It's not this preaching at people, God's going to send you to hell. No, He's not. Satan just takes whatever he owns. But we do need to realize that a lot of the humanistic modern teaching today, don't talk about hell, don't talk about eternity, no sense scaring people. You know, Jude actually says that there are some that you'll need to share, and you'll need to share the fear and the awe of eternity and how God has created a plan for you to have heaven, for you to find heaven, for you not to have to spend eternity lost in a lake of fire. Make sure that you share. Make sure that you live your life with this purpose in mind. That if I'm following Jesus each step of the way, if I serve Jesus as my Lord and Savior, He will always be leading you to live a life that people look at and they want the Jesus you know. He will always want you to step out of your comfort zone and what you have and own and your little reputation you're trying so hard to hang on to and not become some kind of a religious. He's expecting you to share. He's expecting you to talk. And I'm going to tell you, of all the times I have shared my faith in literally the past 40 or more years, I have rarely had a person lose it on me. I think maybe one or two people in my entire life, and the rest of them, as I just shared in a contemporary, relevant way, with a heart for their good, they all thanked me, and in many cases, great things took place. Other things I don't know. I hope one day when I get to heaven, all of the seed that I've planted in sharing my story, in sharing what Jesus means to me, only heaven will tell. But we've got to understand that when Jesus left the 99 that He had in His flock to go look for the one that was lost, He was telling you and He was telling me, don't get so caught up on hanging on to whatever life you've got that you forget the very purpose for you on this planet is to reach people who don't know Christ. As you go through God's Word, you'll notice over and over that Jesus is sharing these principles. And He'll even share stories like a prodigal son who turns his back on the father, takes his inheritance and goes partying with prostitutes and alcohol, blows all his money. Then he's eating with the pigs, decides to come home, and his father is watching for him with open arms, puts the robe on him, the ring on his finger, kills the fatted calf for the biggest party, and the eldest son comes in and hears the noise of the party and is ticked off. Says to his father, what are you doing? He took your money and he squandered it. He comes back. You're going to just accept him? And I'm here working my fingers to the bone. You've never killed a fatted calf for me. And he was just upset. And the father said to him, son, everything I have is yours. But it's good that we celebrated for your brother. He was saying to him that you could have had a fatted calf every day and had your friends over for a party. Make sure that your attitude is not the elder brother, that people who have left and come back, that you can kind of look down your nose at them. Get rid of that attitude and just believe that everywhere you go, there are people who have never heard of Jesus, and there are people who have, something has gone on and they have walked away from God. And as we reach out and love them as well, there's going to be a great ingathering. Ahead of us is the greatest ingathering of people into the kingdom of God than we have ever seen before. Get your eyes off of yourself, what you don't have, what you want. Make sure that your number one priority in life isn't something that's going on around here, but that it's Jesus and the purpose that you're here. And trust His safety, His protection, His blessing. Trust that He'll never leave you, never forsake you. And in the midst of all that you are doing in regular life, there's lots of other things to look after. Keep this one thing there. Never be afraid to walk away from your regular routine. I found often, I remember coming home one day as a young man, and Sally would, you know, we had all these kids and supper was very precious to us, and so we made sure to being together as a family. And as I was driving into our yard, the Spirit of God just spoke to me, and I just sensed this, go back, go back, go back. And I thought, wait, I'm home, it's supper time. No, and then this feeling wouldn't go away. And I remember turning my car around and driving back towards work. And I thought, oh, well, I'll just have to apologize. And but as I was driving back to work, I stopped at a red light and I noticed a hubcap just kind of going around and around and around in the middle of the freeway. It looked odd. And when I looked over to my left, there was a car accident that had taken them off into a little parking lot. So I quickly pulled over there, and this one young lady in a sports car was fine. And I quickly went over to a larger, older car, and a gentleman was there with his head back. Quickly checked a carotid pulse. No pulse. He's dead. I remember that I just grabbed his chin and I gave him one breath, just whoosh, and I said, live in Jesus' name. And as I did that, I got tapped on the back. And it was a couple of paramedics in an ambulance that were driving by, and they were there that fast. And so they scooped him, took him back to the hospital. I remember going back because I wanted to see what was happening, and they brought him into the resus room. I didn't see anything, but they took him up to a room on the ward. And so the next day I asked about this guy to the two paramedics who had picked him up, and they said, no, what do you mean CPR? I said, well, why weren't you guys doing CPR to him? They said, when we scooped him out of the seat, he was fine. He was alive. I said, what? I said, I took a carotid pulse. He was dead. He was gone. His eyes were open. His mouth was open. He was dead. They said, sorry, not when we got him. And, well, where is he? He's on the ward. I remember walking into the ward to talk to this guy. And he was laying in bed, and I was chatting with him and told him who I was. He didn't respond, didn't talk. And I said, if you can hear me, blink your eyes twice. And right in front of me, he blinked his eyes twice. And I said, I want to tell you about why God sent me back. And I told him the story of being home for supper and getting this feeling, I've got to go back to work, seeing his car, giving him one breath in his mouth, and how that he was dead, he was gone. I told him the story and shared Jesus with him. He said, yes, he would like to accept Christ as his Savior. And for just a couple of days, I would go back in and talk with him. One day I came in, and the bed was jacked up all the way up. The sheets were all gone. And they said he had passed away during the night. And I thought of the goodness of God, that this man went into eternity and he barely made heaven. I mean, barely. He had literally died. And I had a chance to see him believe and give his life to Christ. There are things that we can do in the midst of a crisis, and God will honor it. Most of my sharing was done in ordinary coffee shops, talking with people while pumping gas, meeting around outside as parents are playing football with their kids, and just as in a normal conversation, share the hope that had changed my life. I want to challenge you today. Share your faith. Tell your story. You might not have all the answers. Say, yeah, I don't know. But what I do know is I gave my life to Him and my life has changed and I'm growing and I'm learning. I want you to know, leave the safety, step out of the boat, step out of your circle of comfort, step out of what you may have never done before, and know that all of us have been anointed. Holy Spirit is upon us to be witnesses for Him. Father, today I pray that You'd touch each person, that You'd cause every one of us to speak about the most important thing on this planet is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which determines people's eternity. Help us to speak up, to never be afraid, and to know that the words that we share, Holy Spirit will use for that person's lifetime. If you're watching today and you don't know this Jesus I'm talking about, but as you've heard me talk, something's happening inside of you. That is faith rising up, because God's Word is what you're listening to. And just say, Jesus, I give You my life. I choose You. I want to follow You the rest of my days. I want to be born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful, how beautiful that is.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media